Welcome to Trappin' Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear. And we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to get into why we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. But it made me think, when I get back from the Nationals, I think I need to come up with a Ten Commandments for trapping. Years ago, I did a Ten Commandments for long lining that actually I thought was kind of cool. But maybe I should come up with a Ten Commandments for trapping and just see where that goes. That could be an interesting show, I think, anyway. But guys, it's you're going to hear some noise in the background. This is the time where all dealers are pretty much in panic mode. You get orders that are like the day before you leave to a show for some reason. And I don't know how this works. When you're panicked and you're trying to find everything to do a show and get everything in order and get the invoices and the reservations and all that, that's when the phone blows up, one after the other. So if you're trying to call me the day or two before I leave to go to a big show like the Nationals, just keep in mind that unless you're like my dad or my wife or my core of friends or something like that, I probably won't be answering the phone because I've already had to shut it off today. So, just letting you know. But the Nationals is going to be in Lima or Lima, depending on how you want to say it, in Ohio, which is above Dayton, below Toronto. It's right off the interstate. If you're anywhere close, you should really try to come to that show. This year, I'm not sure how the shows are going to be with all the inflation and high gas prices and all of that. I don't know. But if you're a trapper, this is the one show that you should try to get to every year. You get to see all the cool new toys. You get to see the people that you want to see. You get to see friends you haven't seen in a year. And it's to me, it's important to get out of your state and realize that this thing's bigger than just your state or your county or your core group of friends that you trap with. That's what makes going to the Nationals, to me, really cool. Now, I'm going to be there Wednesday setting up, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the show. I'm going to be set up in the Trapping Mafia table compound, which will be Jeff Dunlap. Chip has got to come back. Chip Davis from Expanded Pans won't be there. He's there right now at the director's meeting, but he won't be able to make it to the show because he's got to get back and get someone to Memphis for an operation. So he can't stay. So just letting you know about that. But Jeff Dunlap and Sarah is going to be there. The Bullet Girl is going to be there. If you've ever seen her jewelry, it's always super cool. Ernie's going to be there with his round body grips and his big body grips and whatever else he's got. He's always fun to talk to. Always interesting. Kind of a smart aleck, but in a good fun type way. So you'll enjoy talking with him. And Haggerty's going to be with us this year from J3. And if you've ever been around Haggerty, it's never boring. So besides being super professional, he's never boring. So that's going to what, and I hope I didn't miss anybody, but that's who's going to be at the Trapping Mafia tables this weekend in Lima, Ohio. I also want to remind everybody about our school. Me and Jeff Dunlap's putting on a school this year, the end of September. It's going to be just a little bit north of Alpena, Michigan, if I read the map correctly. We've got a beautiful place to stay in, and I'm talking nice. I think I've got my neighbor, which is an unbelievably cook. He's probably going to smoke a bunch of stuff. He's going to cook for us while we're up there, so you're going to eat like kings, and you're going to trap like dogs, and it's just going to be a great educational time. This is going to be out of trucks this year, where we're going to actually be running on an actual trap line instead of where it's like demos. Or you go to a field and you're looking around, you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this. By doing it on actual trap line, you'll see the places we bypass and why, and you'll see the places we stop and why. And then we'll get into the locations and the sets and how the animals are working and the public and all that type stuff, and the difference between cold weather and early season where it's warmer, and how all that plays an effect on your catch. So just keep that in mind. It's going to be actually on a trap line. And there go my phone again, trying to ring. So you probably hear the buzzing of the phone. But it's going to be a good time. And then we're going to come back at night. We're going to sit around the fire. We're going to lie to each other, tell tall tales. Probably a drink or two. So whatever you like to drink, make sure you bring it. If you want, you know, like if you're addicted to Mountain Dews or Pepsi or something like that, make sure you bring those. If you have any type food allergies, make sure to let us know. All this information, guys, is at wolfernation.com on the PCG store under the school. You'll see how you sign up, what it costs, what you need to bring. All that type stuff is right on there. So just keep that in mind. And if you're wanting to come, you probably want to get signed up so we know what's going on for the school. Next, I want to talk about our sponsors. We have what I believe are the best sponsors in the trapping industry. And the reason for that is I only deal with people that are straight up and honest. I don't deal with people just because they want to give me money, because if that was the case, I could have 30 sponsors right now. And a lot of the guys that want to be sponsors, they're actually pretty good companies and good people. But I don't want to spend three quarters of the show doing sponsorships. And I don't want to just put their name somewhere and take their money like a NASCAR sticker and say it is. So we keep it pretty low on sponsors. But they do help pay for stuff. First, we have F&T Fur Harvesters. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. That's the home of the Freedom Brand dog-proof traps. They got the big Thor trapping hammer, which is, if you need to move some dirt, that'll move some dirt. They carry about anything and everything you could think of. They have an amazing website that you can go to. The school is going to be close enough to F&T. You can save some shipping this year by coming to the school, because you could stop there on the way up or the way back. Pick it up. Meet Ralph and Sean and everybody at F&T. They'll probably have a retail store open by then. Probably. That's kind of the plan right now. And I think it'll be interesting to stop in and see those boys, because they're good. Next, we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan Sayers is the owner of that. He's going to be at the Nationals in Lima this week. F&T is coming. I think Harry's probably going to be in charge of that, but Alan, for the owner of Funky Trap Tag Supply, is going to be there. And you'll want to come by and see him, because he's got a ton of stuff. And he's also got a great website. He carries everything from hunting and fishing, trapping, snaring, predator calls, trap tags, about anything an outdoorsman would want. So just good people, down to earth, good people that are honest. We have Jeb out of Oklahoma. He is I've known Jeb for a long, long time. When I need stuff, I can call a phone, and if he's got it, he'll send it. If not, he can find it. Full line of trapping supplies, buys fur some years, sells meat, glands, stuff like that. Just a really good guy to keep on your phone when you need something. And then Dunlap, which is Dunlap Lures, makes great product, has for many, many years, and just one of those, if I was not going to use my own lure, I would use Jeff's. And the reason I say that is if I go to the same place year after year after year trapping, the third year I want to use something else. Right now, I would feel extremely comfortable and competent to grab Jeff's stuff and go to work. And that's a lure maker saying that about another lure maker. Not just because he's my friend, because I guess technically you could say we're competition, but he makes a good product. And I'm proud of him for that. So Dunlap Lures, he's going to be at the booth, going to be at the show with Sarah, with her with her lures and t-shirts and all the other stuff that Jeff has. It's always funny and cool. So stop by and say hi. Now, why are we going to talk about the Ten Commandments? That is a weird thing to talk about. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I had a friend. I know it was a friend that told me this, and I think it was a guy from Iowa. And I'm not quite sure, so I don't want to mention his name. But off the top of his head, we was talking on the phone about something. And he said, if you want to know what the Democrats believe in, it's pretty much just the opposite of the Bible. And when you look at a lot of their policies on face value, it does seem to be anti-Bible, anti-Christian, anti-moral and ethics. Now, I'm not talking about made-up ethics or the new word of the month ethics or the wokeness or all of that type garbage that they're all into. But I mean, really, if you look at the Bible, it's kind of like the anti-Bible. And if you look, and if you're Muslim and you get offended for what I'm getting ready to say, I don't know what to tell you. But when you look at a lot of the Muslim religion, it's almost anti-Christian. Like, it's the complete opposite. Which, to me, is very weird. Now, if you're on the other side, you may think, well, that's because the other side is wrong. And if you live in America, it's a free country. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Now, you may think I'm getting ready to start preaching, and I promise you I'm not. And I want to make something really, really clear before we get going. I absolutely believe in God. I absolutely believe in Jesus. I absolutely believe the Bible. What I have a problem with is religion. Because throughout history, the second most dangerous thing to human beings has been religion. It has cost more people their lives and property, second to their own government. That's a fact. And today, and when I was growing up, it was used like a weapon all the time. Back in the medieval times, it was just used to gain property and control people. It was used by the government. And I just don't trust religion. So whatever, you know, you can say Christian, but that's not what I'm talking about. You can name whatever denomination of Christian you want to. And as long as you're happy with it, I'm happy for you. But I don't trust them. There's a lot of inconsistencies because men have a tendency to pick and try to market whatever their thing is in a different way for marketing purposes to show that they're different. And a lot of religions today definitely do that. Which it doesn't matter if it's actually biblical or not. That's the rules that they set in place. So I'm not talking about religion today. And I'm not actually going to talk about the Bible in a way that like a preacher would talk about it. I want to talk about the Ten Commandments when it comes to the state of the world that we live in today. Now, when my friend told me this, I remember because I went to a Christian school for 6 years of my life. We learned the Ten Commandments. We memorized Corinthians 13 every single year talking about love. We memorized a lot of stuff. And this was an independent Baptist church down in Columbus, Georgia. So it's not like I've been to church twice and think about it. I started going to church with my wife, which is Church of Christ, which is very, very different than Independent Baptist or Southern Baptist. And I don't want to get into religion, and I don't want to get into denominations. If you've ever heard of a guy named Jordan Peterson, he talks about the need for religion or something else that you can look up to. That could be your parents. It could be heroes. It could be a group in society. It could be, it has to be something. And the reason for that is, people, no matter what anybody says, all people have an evil side. All people, when you take away what they show other people, they definitely are not honest with what's going on in their head at all times. So, what do I mean by this? You can have somebody that gets really mad at somebody else and fantasizes about to put a bullet in their head or breaking their legs or knocking their teeth out. We've all done this. Every single human being has done this. But the reason most of us don't actually follow through with that is, one, there's consequences because of the society that we live in. And two, we consider it wrong because we were brought up with morals and ethics of a religion of some type. If you don't have some type of moral or ethics, and our founding fathers were very clear that a country without moral and ethics, which we're getting very close to, the type of government that we have will not work. It'll have to be a king or a dictator for it to work. Because if everybody does what they want to do anytime they want to do it to anybody else because they get the desire to, society as a whole will not function. So every time someone gets mad at road rage and you got a bigger vehicle than they do, and most of us trappers drive trucks, you know, I've driven with great big, you know, one tons with brush guards, and somebody in the Prius does something stupid or aggravates you to death because they're wanting to go, you know, 23 miles an hour on the interstate next to an 18-wheeler, and you can tell they're doing it out of fun, you kind of think, you know, I should just ram their ass and put them in the ditch. That would teach them a lesson. But you don't, because there's consequences, and that's not how people with moral and ethics treat other people. Now, you may fantasize about it, and you may talk to yourself about it, you may get really excited thinking about it, but you don't do it. Same thing between men and women. If there's no moral and no ethics, why wouldn't you sexually take any woman in any situation that you could physically get away with it, because that's what you want when you get attracted sexually by a girl? Why wouldn't you just go around doing basically what they did probably 600 years ago? And if you had the power and the ability, you would just physically have sex with any woman that you want to have. Because most people in America today, you don't treat women that way. And people that look at women and want to treat them that way are ostracized from friends and family and everybody else. Now, unfortunately, with the internet, now you can have a bunch of degenerates kind of build their own community, and now they think that it's okay to be degenerates. But that's kind of a new concept with moral and ethics. But before the internet, if you were going to rape somebody in a small town and it came out, you were through. So even if you wanted to, you wouldn't do it. You get mad at your neighbor because they're making too much noise. You get really pissed off. You don't go over there and just beat the hell out of them. You probably want to, but you don't. Because that's not how you treat your neighbor. See, I was grown up that you never, ever hit a woman. Never. Now, why don't we hit women? Well, we're brought up not to hit women. Why were we brought up not to hit women as men? They're weaker. They're slower. Our job as males in a traditional way is to protect them, provide for them, because not that they're weak, but they're valuable. They're valuable to the man. They keep the household going. They help you keep genes going for the future. All these reasons, women are very valuable, but they're weaker. So the stronger should protect the weaker. So we don't hit women because of morals and ethics in the way that we were brought up. Now you go to the Middle East, and that's a totally different culture. They have no problem beating the snot out of women. They have no problem raping 9 and 10 year old girls, which we would find very, very disheartening here. They don't consider it wrong because the women are their property. Just like a car, you know, you want to go take a sledgehammer to your car, it's your car. So if they want to take a sledgehammer to their wife because they're mad at them or they're mad at the world, they can just beat them up. They can force sex with them whenever they want. They force sex with any woman that didn't have a chaperone. It is, and the reason they think that is because that is their culture. That is their moral and ethics that they were brought up with. That's the reason there's a huge problem with trying to mix our culture with that culture. I just listened to a podcast and I heard the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life. Over in Europe right now, the police are so afraid of being called racist that they don't even stop Muslims from raping girls. White girls and Muslim girls. And the most disgusting part of this is apparently when you're trying to sodomize 11-year-old girl, she doesn't enjoy it. So what did they figure out to do? They take a nail and they nail her tongue to the kitchen table so she can't wiggle around too much. Common practice over there. There's a documentary actually coming out from a guy they put in prison because he asked questions about all the rape. I was listening to his interview. I had a hard time conceiving that human beings could do that. Another thing, that once they get done with a girl, they want to be the only one that gets to sodomize her. They heat up rebar and they stick it in her backside so it all scabbed over and wouldn't be enjoyable for the next man. Because it's their property. In our culture, there's a good chance if that was found out, that you're nailing the tongue of an 11-year-old girl so you can sodomize her to the kitchen table, or your whole group of friends do it so they just have a good Friday evening, there's a good chance those people would be found not breathing in a couple of days. That's the difference of culture. The big thing that's going around social media and has been for the last couple of years is there going to be a civil war? And trust me, I don't want a civil war because, and no one else that really thinks about this does either, because the life that you have now will be over. The lives that your kids have will be over. Your 401k will be gone. You'll have a hard time finding fuel. Females will be forced into prostitution just to try to feed their kids, all these single moms, because they're not going to have a whole lot of value in a society like that besides sex. And that's a harsh thing to say, but it's reality. So I don't want a full-blown civil war in this country. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I don't think the Republicans are going to save us. Not the ones that we have now. So what's the response that someone should have? I don't know. But why do people think that the only way to get out of the situation our country's in right now is a civil war. That's because we have two societies in this country that are completely opposite in what they think is moral and what ethics are. That, if you boil it down, that's exactly the difference. It's not that one is liberal and one is conservative. One is Republican, one is Democrat. One is a left-leaning libertarian, one is a right-wing libertarian. It's morals and ethics. That's what the big problem is. See, to a more conservative type person, if I read off the Ten Commandments, they go, yeah, that makes sense. If you read the Ten Commandments to a liberal and they actually think about it, it does not make sense. Just like nailing an 11-year-old girl's tongue to a kitchen table to force sex on her does not make sense to me and you, probably, I hope. From people in the Middle East, since it's their property, it's their tongue, she's moving around too much, so you go get a hammer and a nail. It's hard for those two cultures to mesh because the moral and ethics are so far apart. No one in this country raises their kids to put bombs on and go kill another religion. That is just a strange concept. Over there, they're taught that it is righteous. A conservative, probably even 99% of liberals in this country, would not see that as a moral thing to do. And this is what it's coming down to. So, I want to look at the Ten Commandments, and you will see with a little bit of examination why there's such a divide in our country. Because I know a lot of you going to the Nationals, you're going to be listening to talk radio. You're going to be fired up. You're going to be watching Fox News in the morning. I've known guys at the conventions that sleep with Fox News on at night, and they wonder why they're anxious all the time. But it boils down to the difference of morals and ethics. And one of the subjects that I'm so tired of right now is abortion. Do I think it's wrong? Yes. Do I think there should be exceptions? Yes. But to a liberal, that's a foreign concept. That's like the Democrats now coming up with gun laws to try to take your Second Amendment away is completely foreign to the way that you think. So you're looking at this, well, they're evil. I listened to a congressman talk about an AR-15, when you put a wrist extension on there for an AR pistol or an AK pistol, it turns it into a bump stock and turns any AR or AK into a fully automatic rifle. Besides the morals and ethics, when it comes to certain things like that, they're just dumb as dumb can be. You can't fix stupid, and a lot of our congressmen and senators are stupid because they believe it. But with the abortion thing, where the divide is the morals and ethics. One side thinks it's killing a baby. One side thinks it's completely okay for the mother to kill a baby if she decides to because it's in her body. Now, wherever you stand on that, in a free country, I guess it's okay to stand on that. But that's the reason that issue cannot be absolved with laws. It's just not going to be. Conservatives look at taxes or over taxation, inflation, things like that as a tax and theft. Conservatives don't. So when you talk to a liberal about overtaxation, the way you're thinking is the same way as when you're talking about any other thing, because the cultural difference of moral and ethicals are so far apart. And it's frustrating. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Okay, so I want to read some of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. See, most conservatives will go, yeah, that makes sense. There's one God, we're his children. We're supposed to do what he says. We're supposed to follow the rules. And that's what makes a moral person. Now, what is the gods of a liberal? Right now, it's pronouns. It's being a transgender or not. A lot of them have gods of abortion. That's what they worship. It is just like a religion, the way that the liberals look at their topics. They treat it like a religion. It's completely on faith, not on facts. It's not something that can be proved. It's a feeling. Therefore, you have to have faith. And anybody that doesn't have faith is an infidel, the way that the Muslims look at it, and must be destroyed. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, but I do want you to think about that. Have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. Well, what's an idol? To me and you, it would probably be carving something out of wood, making a gold statue, and thinking that it's God. That's what we would think of as idols. What does the left look at as idols? What do they look to? Symbols. Communism, socialism, free health care, free college, the COVID mask, the vax mandates. Those are absolutely their idols. Mao. That's the way they think. That's the way they act. That's exactly what they see as their idols. They make them up just like a stone statue, then worship it. That's why it's so hard when you get around places that are very liberal and you don't want to wear a mask. They cannot believe that you don't want to wear a mask because that's their idol. Now think back when you first got your religion, whatever that is. First couple of years, pretty much everybody goes militant. They want to tell everybody about it. They feel like they discovered something and they want to convert everybody. That's what the left does. It's, you know, the idols are also the pronouns, even though they make no sense. They don't even linguistically make any sense. People can identify as animals. There's, what, 115 genders? Or more now, probably. None of them even make any sense when you listen to them, hardly. There's all kind of sexual classifications. I think being a vegan is absolutely a religion. Why? Because they have to, if you've ever met a vegan, they have to come out and try to convert you immediately. That's why you always know you're talking to a vegan within the first 3 minutes. Which is very strange because most people don't talk about their food that way. It's a religion. It's their idol. Do you see what I'm kind of saying? What you don't have with the progressive left is what we consider the most of the country as God, or idols. Their gods are pretty much man-made ways to control humans. And their idols are things they come up with and they try to force it down everybody else's throat. Because that is their god or their idols. Now, when we start looking at the rest of them, you'll see how backwards we are. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Basically, that's talking about a tradition. Originally, I think that had a lot of applicable basis besides just thinking about God. People needed to rest. They didn't need to work 7 days a week. They needed to rest to function as a human being. And while you're resting, it gave you a way to be thankful of your family, your friends, food, whatever else you got going on. It gave you a way to be thankful for that and a person to say thanks to. But it's traditional. Some religions, it's Friday night to Saturday night. Some it's Saturday, some it's Sunday. But when you bring up anything traditional to a liberal, they automatically scoff at it. It's the old way. It no longer works. See, there's an old phrase when it comes to tradition. Before you tear down a fence, you need to understand why it was put there in the first place. Because if it's at a zoo and it's fenced in lions, and you tear the fence down just because you don't understand what it's for, don't get all upset when the lion eats your children or tears your leg off. You did it because of lack of understanding of what traditions do. Traditions are super important in a lot of different ways. Most traditions are based on common sense. They're based in things that have already failed and someone goes, yeah, this didn't work out very well. And when we get away from this, we go haywire. Kind of like what wokeism wants to do is get away from anything and everything that's traditional. Traditional marriage. Why? Because kids, statistically, are more successful than they are with single moms and single dads. Are there exceptions? Probably. But if you're really concerned about the kids, the last thing you want to do as a parent is give them a one-parent household. See, that's a tradition. Moms protect the children. Men build boys into men. And they teach their daughters about the dangers of the world. Women can't teach men to be men. Or boys to be men. They're not men. And it's not in the nature of man to be a mother. No matter how touchy-feely the liberals want men to be, that's not in the male's nature. They go about their business in a more direct, in a more brutal and in-your-face type way, which is what boys need when they start becoming young men. So traditional families have a function. There's a traditional reason for that. Liberals do not like tradition. Because if you have a lot of dependent people, they're never going to vote out the people that made them independent in the first place. If you go back and look at history, the black population was actually doing better than the white population up until the 70s, from the 50s to the 70s. They had more traditional family values than majority of white people did because divorce was becoming more common in the white people. Then those kids grew up and that's all they knew was single parents and you don't put up with nothing and you just want to be happy all the time and you think it's a romance novel, so you get divorced. You don't want to go through the hard times. because that's what you saw. And then this continues on and on. And now you have people that thinks they're cats and dogs, and one of the 198 genders and sexual identities, and all the stuff we're seeing to now is because the traditional family has been almost destroyed in America. Traditions make a big, big reason for this. Honor your father and mother. Teachers and Al Gore have been recorded in classrooms telling children that your parents don't understand the new world and you don't need to listen to them. Does that seem like a group of society that honors their fathers and mothers? If you're teaching the kids in the propaganda schools that we have that your parents are really stupid, those adults are stupid because they're not woke. We're really smart, and we want you to be as smart as we are. And if you have kids in public school, they are being taught this. Honor your father and mother. The policies of the progressive left make it where it's a disadvantage for a lot of people to even get married because of taxes, benefits, welfare, all this. They get more money and more stuff if they don't act like their parents, if they had traditional parents. People go to where the money's at because it's resources and it's important. So they want you to honor your father and mother, because if you can come up with five things that progressives have said in the last year where you give the conclusion that their parents should be able to control their, what their kids learn in education, which they hate, that the parents shouldn't be in any type of control or even knowledge about the sexual underage porn that they're showing your kids, which they are, and talking about stuff that would make you blush if it was out in public. They don't honor father and mother. It's the complete opposite of honoring father and mother. Let's go to the next one. You shall not murder unless the means justify the ends. See, it's okay for the liberals to burn down cities, kill cops, shoot Trump supporters in the back of the head, as long as it's for a good reason, which is for their idols and their gods. You get a bunch of people going into the Capitol on January 6th, mostly taking videos and selfies, and they act like people are murdering people. Thou shalt not murder. Bible's very clear, though, that does not mean you shall not kill. Someone breaks in your house, they need to go bye-bye. Someone messes with your family, they need to go bye-bye. Government becomes too tyrannical, they need to go bye-bye. That's all through the Bible. And I'm going to give you two examples why I know this is true. Again, I'm going to bring up Jordan Peterson. When you look at the original words of the Bible, which is not the King James, I hate to bust someone's bubble on that, but it is not. The original words for the meek shall inherit the earth does not mean what most of us think it means. What it means is someone that has a sword, knows how to use the sword, and chooses not to through discipline is what the meek is. Now, today, meek means weak. Meek means you let people abuse you which is the way a lot of religions have taught their people in their churches to be weak and useless and not even take up for themselves. The other is, if you have gold and no sword, sell your gold to buy a sword. What's a sword for? It's not to plant a garden. In the Old Testament, when Israel went into different countries, they were told to kill every man, woman, child, and farm animal. Murder is what most people think a murder is. You just get mad, you kill somebody. Yeah, that's murder. First-degree murders, you plan it out. Other types of murder are just happens. You lose your temper and you kill somebody. When that kid up in Minnesota defended himself with an AR-15 because people were trying to bash his head in and shoot him with pistols, he didn't murder those people. He killed them, but he didn't murder them. But when you listen to polls by progressive left, you don't see killing as a way of self-protection. You see killing as a way to a political means. So they don't believe in that. You shall not commit adultery. ...80% of all divorces are started by females. 60% of the females, according to statistics, have cheated on their husband. That's more than 50%, so you can't say it's men doing it. Now, it's just acceptable for girls to pretty much be whores. And traditionally, that kind of goes against tradition, doesn't it? Anybody can get on an app today and have sex by lunch. I've talked to several people that this is what they do. In the morning, they start swiping, and by lunch, they're screwing, and they never see the person again. Now, there's two people there. Now, the people I've talked to have been males that do this. But that means there's that many willing participants of females to do that. And when you look at the Bible, adultery is having sex out of marriage. However you believe about that statement, that's up to you. This is America. Do most people have sex before marriage? Yes. But there's a reason for that. A lot of it goes back to tradition. Women lose a ton of their sexual market value with a baby. So traditionally, these were set in place to protect women. It all kind of goes together when you think about it. Problem is, most people don't think about it. Most of us will agree that adultery is. Third-wave feminism, the way it's taught through adultery through third-wave feminism, is that's oppressive for a woman not to have sex with anybody and everybody they want to, whenever they want to. Traditionally, for conservatives, that's not looked at exactly the same way, now is it? So far, has there been anything, any common ground between the Ten Commandments, between conservatives and liberals? No. The next one, that you shall not steal, unless that person has more money than you. Does that sound familiar? If they make more money, that means the government, we're going to get people in government that's going to go help steal some of that money, so we get free stuff. That's what a majority of your taxes are for, is because it's been lobbied by people that don't have the guts to steal it from you individually, but they think it's perfectly fine to have a government agency with guns and the threat of prison to come steal for them. One of the big things that conservatives had a problem with all the BLM and Antifa riots is they would not go in, you know, break into grocery stores and get groceries. They would break into stores and get shoes and TVs and jewelry and pocketbooks and, you know, jerseys and stuff like that. They thought it was completely fine, if you listen to any of the interviews, to steal from companies, because they just said that the company was against their idol of racism. Didn't matter if the company was racist or the people on the store were the racist. It just means that they think it's okay to steal as long as it's the other. Conservatives have a problem with this. Conservatives are taught you don't steal. Being a thief is bad. If it's for the right reasons, it's perfectly okay to be a thief as a progressive, because the ends justifies the means. So that doesn't match between conservatives and the progressive left. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If I say the word Kavanaugh and women just make up being raped, does that ring a bell? What about the guy in Chicago that had two black friends put a noose around his neck and pour gasoline on him, and then he called the cops saying it was Trump supporters? And when it was found out that it was all made up, yeah, but the message is still good because it's happened somewhere. See, that's not the way a conservative will look at that. How many times in your lifetime has you heard females accuse men of rape and then it comes out later that it was actually made up? Over my lifetime, in my small little circle, it's been thousands. Thousands. Hashtag me too. Must believe all women. If you do, you're a moron. Because there's evil women and there's good women. And the evil women will bear false witness. When the senator, I can't think of his little name, his little weasel, back when Romney was running for president, came out and came up with all this stuff about his taxes that he admitted later was made up, but it furthered his agenda, is not letting Romney become president. He admitted it. Bearing false witness against you. I don't know of any conservatives. I can't think of any conservative shenanigans that's been on the news. Well, conservatives are making up what liberals are doing to try to further their agenda. But it's very common for liberals to do that to conservatives. It was a big thing during BLM where there was all these racial things being spray painted around campuses. And they found that it was actually black people doing it just to try to get crack stirred. Gay waiters and waitresses would write little notes on their receipts where the person that was leaving them a tip said something like faggot. And then they would call the news and show them the receipt. Then when they look at the cameras, the person wrote it themselves, and they were just trying to get awareness for gay people. So it's completely okay for the progressive left to bear false witness as long as it supports their gods and idols. And the last one is, you shall not covet. This one, I think conservatives and liberals both have problems with. communism is based on coveting what your neighbor has. Socialism is based on coveting what your neighbor has. That when you boil those two ideas down, it's to covet what your neighbor has. They have something, I don't, I want it. It's worked out really good for the Russians when everybody in the cities wanted to have land. So they killed the farmers, took their land, and they all about starved to death. Coveting stuff never really works out for the person. But it's a huge, huge problem in people. You see someone with a bigger house than you. Oh, they inherited it. They won the lottery. They stole money to get it. They were cheating their employees. That's coveting. I think Republicans and liberals both have a problem with this. But the whole ideology of the left is based on this. Covet what your neighbor has. Conservatives have a problem with trying to pick off wives of other men. Liberals have no problem sliding into DMs. It's just fun. Destroying a marriage, which they don't agree with because it's tradition. Getting a little piece of action. It doesn't bother them in the least. If they think they can covet someone else's wife and convince them and talk them into having sex, they're all for it. So that's the Ten Commandments, guys. And on the coveting thing, I'm going to bring this back to trapping a little bit. When you're on my side of the table at a convention, it's a whole different world than being on the front side of the table at the convention. There's a lot of politics, a lot of niches, a lot of stuff that drives me absolutely insane, and I stay out of it. When you hear most trappers talk about other trappers, it's going to boil down to they covet something. They have a bigger business. They catch more fur. They live in a better place for fur. Most of the issues we see, and we're seeing it right now in the NTA, which I'm not going to get into very much. And I'm sure at the Nationals, it's going to come very obvious because the rumor mill is going to start spreading. There's people that are writing letters without putting their names on there because they're one, cowards. And they're making wild accusations because they don't like something that the NTA is doing. Now, a lot of people are going to look at anybody that's in a leadership role and automatically covet that role and try to figure out a way to get that role. Why? I have no idea. It's the NTA. It's not like you have a son that can be like Hunter Biden and bring you millions of dollars a year under the table. There's not a lot of money in the NTA. There's not a lot of power in the NTA. As far as organization goes, it's like a pubic hair size of the world. But people get so invested, mostly through coveting something else, they get tore up about stuff, and other people are so quick to jump on the covet train that they automatically want to believe whatever it is. When you hear these rumors coming up this week, I want you to ask yourself a question. If you were a journalist, a real journalist, not a fake news journalist, not a woke journalist, not an agenda-driven journalist, but a real journalist, how do you look at stories? You hear something, you go check it out, right? In the news business, it's called sources. What are the sources? Without sources, you don't have a story. It used to be that you had to have rock solid sources before an editor would let you put anything in a paper. Because they didn't want to be embarrassed because people are making stuff up. But that's not the way journalism works anymore. It's all based off rumors. And usually the sources now are just other news organizations that are saying the same rumor. That's how our media works today. But when you hear this stuff up at the NTA, I want you to pretend you're a journalist and go, what are the sources? The source is a letter that was sent out to certain people. I didn't get one, which I find fascinating. I didn't get any of them. There's been several of them. Was some of the most idiotic charges, if you actually think about anything, that there is. But who's the source? Who's sending these letters? Without a signature and without someone stating sources, you don't have a story, right? It's a unsubstantiated rumor. That's all it is. And I don't know how the NTA is going to react with all this stuff that's going on about these letters with no signatures and no sources. I've talked to some people about it because I know some of the people. And when you actually hear some of the stuff that's being said and some of the stuff where there is actually proof that it is completely false, you just shake your head. Now, the NTA acts more like a political group. So they wouldn't treat this the way that I would treat this. It would be full-blown attack and show the stupidity of most of these charges. Because they're moronic. When you find out actually what happened. But there's going to be people that's going to want to believe it. And they want to spread it without any sources whatsoever. To me, unless someone has the courage, which apparently these people do not, which means they're little bitty beta males, which obviously they are, because they don't have the conviction nor courage to stand behind what they're sending out to try to stir the pot. They don't have anything. At least not that I know of. And on several of these subjects, it's obvious they don't have anything because it doesn't even make sense. Now, if someone in the NTA is doing something wrong, the NTA should cut them loose. I don't care if I'm a friend with somebody or not. Some things you just don't put up with. But they have to be substantiated. Because you can't get mad at the liberals for coming up with a lady that says she was raped by a Supreme Justice that's getting ready to be confirmed in a place that didn't exist, on a time that couldn't have happened, in a room and other people didn't know, with nothing but she said. If you got mad at that, but you feel differently about rumors and other things, you need to check yourself on being a consistent human being. If there's proof, bring it out. And if you're going to accuse someone of it, have the nuts, instead of being a little girl or a little boy, and accuse somebody in the open. Because it's not like the NTA is the CIA or the NSA or the FBI or the federal government. There's not a police force. There's not an IRS. There's not armed SWAT teams. What are you afraid of to come out in the open? And the only reason I'm bringing this up, guys, because I haven't said a word about it, is I'm pretty sure the rumors are going to be flying at the Nationals. And if you don't have a source before you make a decision one way or the other, you need to find out who the sources are. Because, it, like I said, it's not like you stand up against the federal government and they send the IRS after you. Or the FBI uses one of their programs that they brag about where they can put child porn on anybody's computer without any trace. That's not happening with the NTA. So there's no fear of massive retribution because the NTA doesn't have any real power. It's an organization that supports trapping. So just keep this in mind when you hear some of this stuff. What is the source? Well, so-and-so said who? Well, he read a letter. From who? Well, there's no names on it. Oh, really? Because I can start a letter on you. I'm talking to you individually that's listening to this right now. And talk about you wearing dresses. Being a progressive leftist, if that's an insult to you. And you're really transgendered. You're having sex with monkeys and horses. And I can send a letter out to everybody in the NTA. I'm sure I could get a list if I wanted to bad enough. And you'd wake up one day and there'd be an anonymous letter that everybody has that's talking about you having sex with horses. In a dress with Nancy Pelosi makeup on. Now, how would you feel about a non-sourced rumor like that against you? I think we all know how you'd feel. You'd be pissed off. And you really wouldn't know what to do. And people would believe it without even thinking about there is no source. So, guys, I hope to see you at the NTA. Gonna be up there sweating with you. It's not gonna be that hot, actually. It's only gonna be in the low 80s up there, which for me has been pretty nice for what we've been doing here. So be safe if you're coming, and come look me up. And if you've never met me, just come up and tell me hi. I'd like to meet you, and I will talk to y'all later.